kind of like the same Paul that you heard described in the scriptures last this morning, is both the occasion of and the matter for my sermon topic today. Christian idealism. The text for that topic is Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Others, Matthew said, "These men are full of new life." Let me make clear at the outset the point of view from which I operate this morning. I speak from experience, again, experience. What has happened to those of us in this community who might be classified as veterans in ministry? Well, all sorts of things, I suppose, both good and bad. Among the good things, I'm sure, would be an increase in wisdom. Among the bad things might be a decrease in idealism. Really, it's presumptuous of me to try to speak for other experienced servants of the cross. I can only speak for myself, and I'm reluctant to do that because of my aversion toward overt subjectivity in preaching. That subjectivity, today at least, seems to be the lesser evil. More than 35 years ago, I left the seminary an idealist. I was all fired up over the power of the gospel, the workability of Christian love, and the anticipated triumph of Christian principle over secular practice. What is my status now? Well, I haven't forsaken my youthful enthusiasm, but I have modified it. I find myself increasingly tempted to come to terms with the world, to accept people and institutions as they are, to be practical and realistic, to shrug my shoulders and say, well, that's the way things are. When you reach my age, you'll find out that that's the way the world goes. Oh, I suppose I could argue that it hasn't been entirely a change to the bad, but in part, the transformation has even been of God. After all, when the Lord Jesus himself enjoined us to be not merely timeless as God, but also wise as serpents. If God wants us to have our heads in the clouds, and he does, he has no objection to our simultaneously having our feet on the ground. If he wants us valiantly to put out to sea, and he does, he still doesn't insist that we rock the boat. The Christian religion does not mean to make a virtue out of my ego. There's nothing wrong with having our eyes wide open. So long as this approach is a supplement to Christian idealism rather than a substitute for it. In the long run, however, this can all too easily snap a rationalization. In part, I feel the change has been of the devil, too. It is my contention with men that to come to terms with life, to be an adjusted individual, to accept things as they are, and to quietly grab one share of the cake, is the sure mark, not merely of middle age, although it is that too, even more characteristic of middle age, perhaps, than thinning hair and graying sideburns and protruding pouches. Not merely an indication of middle age, I say, but above all, a manifestation of satanic impulse. The person who pays lip service to Christian ideas, but who also knows the ropes and is nobody's fool, is often perhaps more an agent of Satan than that person who openly attacks Christian principles. For it has always been Satan's technique, not to kill the beauty, but to immobilize its stinger. Subtle serpent that he is, Lucifer's emasculation promoted as a means of negating life. Now, this is more than pious chatter or true confessions with men. This is more than a kind of verbal hellscape. We have Bibles for our contention, our text for instance. that first Pentecost, the disciples are rather literally on fire for the Lord and literally filled with the Holy Ghost. The phenomenon was greeted with wonder and amazement, but it was also greeted with cynicism. There were some people in the crowd, in their 40s or 50s, I dare say, and they dismissed the miracle of that first Pentecost with the remark, "These men are full of new wine." One of the causes of the so-called generation gap, so much discussed a few years ago, is precisely this, that so many of us on the far side of that opposite, with the youthful idealism, fervor, zeal, and passion so evident among students, especially at the beginning of the school year, with the attitude captured by the statement of our text, "These men are full of new life." Don't get me wrong, I do not mean to patronize you. No question about it. Some of the blame for that gap can be laid at the door of youth. Their occasional lack of cleanliness, their irresponsibility, and their impatience with authority. But frankly, some of the fault is ours too. We sometimes throw cold water on your enthusiasm. Instead of channeling your idealism, we drop it. We say, in effect, well, these men are full of new wine. More important than a specific passage this morning, such as our text, is the sum total of passages. I mean, the gospel story itself. Suppose you were going to set the world right. Would it have occurred to you to begin your program as Jesus did, in a barn? Or in a stable, if you prefer the more romantic phrase? Would your formula have been 30 types of meditation to only 3 types of action? And would you have initiated that all too brief span of activity with, of all things, a testing period in the wilderness, compliments of Satan? Would you have been content with an operating staff made up mostly of fishermen? Would you have functioned without a central office, no place where to lay your head? Would you have welcomed the kind of assistant who sticks at your feet rather than bustling in the kitchen? Would you have allowed yourself to be hooted at and whipped? Would you have settled for a coronation with thorns? Would you have been king on a mountain, at least on such a mountain, Calvary Hill, the place of souls? Would you have been church of God? Talk about ideas. Talk about naive. Yet look at the results today. It works. The Jesus word works. My goal this morning is to urge upon all of us to do this way. If you're under 30, hang on to your idealism. Through the power of the gospel, get rid of your choice and irresponsibility and contempt for authority. You will have no objection. But for God's sake, and I do not mean to be profane, for God's sake, hang on to your idealism. Make sure it has a Christian name, that it is idealism in Christ, that it is, in the words of St. Paul, zeal according to knowledge. Learn every practical technique you can to implement your ideas. Let experience season your ideas, yes, but never let experience replace your ideas. And whatever happens, avoid the pitfall of advancing age. Never, never abandon your ideas. And if we're over 30, let's recapture through the power of that same gospel the idealism of our teens and drink once again of the fountain of youth. Well, we have a few years left yet, and Christ can make good use of them. Let us work while it is day, before the night comes when no man can work. May we knock off the voice of experience and become instead with Jesus' help, a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord and making his path straight. Amen.